to have to give ourselves several years to get that weed control or weed under control as well. It's not going to be a one-and-done fix. It's not going to be, you know, spray a couple of times this year and be done. It's going to take a while because you've got, you know, the plants are there, so the seed bank is there. There's seed down in that soil waiting to germinate at the next time that that particular plant likes to germinate. And that's the other thing is that we have, you know, spraying a herbicide now to kill the buttercup and the henbit and the chickweed. And I think I've seen some geranium, wild geranium coming up in some pastures. That is going to kill what's there now. But any weed that may not germinate until late June or start popping up until late June or July and August, it's not going to affect those. So that's why, you know, unfortunately, it's not a one and done to kill all the weeds that are out there. It's not a one and done to kill the weeds for this year because we've got different types of weeds that grow at different times of the year. And so you really have to target those particular weeds at the stage that they are most vulnerable to the herbicide so that you can get the greatest control and the greatest effect on them. So depending on what type of weed you have, when its life cycle is, when it likes to grow, determines when is the best time to spray. Because, again, you can spray now and kill the buttercup and henbit and chickweed, but you're not going to have any effect on any horse nettle that may have seed in the ground and is just waiting until the hot weather of July to pop up.
Okay. Well, now, let me ask this quick question, and then we'll move on. If someone should decide to spray, I guess they need to, as always, read the label instructions.
Yep.
And make sure that whatever you're spraying, that it's okay to spray within so many days of you know, cutting hay and or grazing, correct?
Correct. And I'm not going to sit here and try and tell you I know what all the labels for all the herbicides are because there's too many variables and I know I would probably get something wrong. So, yes, read the label. They all will somewhere on that, and it's usually under the restrictions section, I think, in the forage section of the label. But if you have any questions, certainly call us here at the Extension Office, 336-599-1195. But they, on all the herbicide labels, there will be times that's listed out as to how long the animals may need to stay off the pasture before you can put them back on there, how long you need to wait before you mow it, how long you need to wait before, or like in the case if we're talking about animals that are going to be harvested, those animals may need to come off that pasture for X amount of days prior to harvest.
Right.
So all that's on the label. Read the label. And for a lot of times when those restrictions are on those labels, a lot of people think it's because the herbicide can be bad for the animals. Most of the time, and I'm not going to say all the time, but most of the time, it's to allow that herbicide to be completely absorbed by the plant and then translocated usually to the roots to be able to do the job of killing the plant. If we go out there and spray it today and then we go out there and mow that grass tomorrow, either with a bush hog or an animal's mouth or a hay mower, then that herbicide may not have had the chance to travel where it needed to travel to do its job. So it's not necessarily an animal safety standpoint. It's just to allow the product to do its work. But, yes, always, always, always read the label and then read the label again. And not only read the label, but follow the label. Do what it says.
All right. Some good advice. Appreciate that. Now, Kim, it's some different workshops and field days and things coming up. Mm-hmm. I guess the information that I have in front of me, on Tuesday, May 3rd, mm-hmm. At 6:30, it's going to be an equine workshop.
Yep.
What does your horse really need to eat?
Mm-hmm.
And this is taking place from 4200 Kennedy Mill Road in Oxford, understanding hay analysis, feeding various classes of horses, meaning whether you're working them or pasture mm-hmm. ornaments or the age, I guess, and understanding supplements. Mm-hmm. This is something that is being sponsored by the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service. Now, I see where you can log on to eventbrite.com, mm-hmm. More or less / what does your horse really need tickets for this. Now, is this going to be both an in-person and online or just in-person only?
Good question. We have not discussed online or hybrid, so I'd say at this point I think it's going to be in-person only because we do plan to try and have some hay, either bales or samples of hay out there for people to look at and touch and smell and all that kind of stuff. So I would say right now it's going to be an in-person event. And so, yeah, that's a big, long website where you can go and register. If you will go to our extension website, person.ces.ncsu.edu, there's on that main page, there's a link to that little article about the equine workshop, and then you can click on the registration link within that article instead of having to write all this down. Or you can call me and we can get you registered. But yeah, it is on May 3rd, which is a Tuesday. We're going to start about 6:30. We're planning on having like some snacks there. It's not going to be a true supper, but we'll have some snacks and some drinks there. And we're going to talk about some of these things so that hopefully equine owners can get a better understanding of what that report means and what all those numbers mean when they get back the hay report after they've had some hay analyzed. Or if their hay seller hands them a report, they have some sort of idea of what those numbers mean. And then taking those numbers, and does that provide the nutrition that your particular horse needs? Because, you know, obviously my pasture ornament horse at home does not need as much nutrition as, you know, a horse that's in training for barrels or eventing or dressage or whatnot, and doesn't need as much as, you know, a mare that's got a foal at her side and she's trying to feed that foal. And obviously, you know, foals need a lot of nutrition as well, weanlings and yearlings, as they're growing. So trying to make sure that we understand what we have with our hay and how that may or may not meet the needs of our individual horses. So that's one part of it. And then also a lot of talk about supplements, and I'm not even going to pretend I understand a whole lot about supplements. So I'm sure I will learn quite a bit at this particular talk myself. So understanding some supplements, do you really need them? Which horses might need some of these supplements? So we feel like we've got a pretty good lineup scheduled for that night. Again, it's May 3rd. Which is a Tuesday. We'll start at 6:30, and it's going to be at 4200 Kennedy Mill Road, which is the Granville County Livestock Arena. So it should be fairly easy to find. There's plenty of parking out there. So just go ahead and if anybody's interested, register. If you have more questions, you can give me a call here at the Extension office. Look on our website, and we can get you the information that you might need.
336-599-1195 is the phone number to the Person Cooperative Extension Service Office. 919-603-1350 is the telephone number to the Granville County Office. Mm-hmm. And again, that address, 4200 Kennedy Mill Road. That's not so awful far off of Highway 96. Mm-mm. There at Kennedy. On Kennedy Mill Road there at the Granville County Livestock Center. Mm-hmm. And so sounds very interesting. And, you know, a lot of times you may be wasting money. When you think you're doing good, you may just be wasting money. So mm-hmm. deadline to register will be May 1st. So, again, if you want to go online and register. Kim, if you would give the extension website address again, please.
So for basically it's the county that you're interested in. So for us here in Person County, it would be person.ces.ncsu.edu. And for Granville County, it would be granville.ces.ncsu.edu. Or if you just go to Google or Yahoo or whatever, type in Person Cooperative Extension, and it should take you right to it.
Okay, appreciate that information. Now, several other things of interest is also taking place. Let me see here. The next one, I guess, would be May the 6th, the Piedmont Regional Goat and Sheep Conference up in Greensboro.
Yep.
Tell us some information about that, please.
So we just had our beef conference back the first part of March. So our same little team, we've been trying to do a beef conference in March and a goat and sheep conference in May. And so we're going to have it in person this year. Last year we did it virtually, but it will be in person this year. And it's going to be at the North Carolina A&T State University Farm Pavilion. And we went up there a couple of weeks ago because I don't think any of us had seen this new building they have just built there on their farm, on A&T's farm. It is absolutely gorgeous. It is a really nice facility with lots of meeting spaces, a kitchen area, some lab areas. So they can do lots of really cool things there at that facility. So that's where we're going to be for the first part of the morning, there with some like presentations there in a classroom type setting. That location is 3020 McConnell Road, McConnell McConnell Road in Greensboro. We're going to start around 8:30 that morning with a little bit of time for our vendors and the trade show. I think the actual presentation part gets started about 9 o'clock. And again, we'll do the first part that morning there in a classroom-type setting with Dr. Andrew Weaver, who is our small ruminant specialist at NC State. He's going to be covering some basic animal handling techniques. And then we've also got Johnny Rogers from right here in Person County, but also with North Carolina State University and the Amazing Grazing Program, is going to talk about forage and pasture management techniques. So it should be some really good information in that setting. And then we'll actually move to the barn that A&T Farm has right there. It's maybe like a 3-minute drive down the road to the barn where they have some sheep and goats, and we'll actually practice what we just talked about with the small ruminant and the handling technique. So moving those animals through an alleyway to be able to catch them and doctor on them or treat a foot or whatever the case may be, how to move those animals through in a low-stress situation so that everybody remains calm and does not get too stressed. So we'll do that. Then we'll have lunch back at the pavilion, more trade show time, and then for people that are interested in becoming certified in FAMACHA, F-A-M-A-C-H-A, which is an acronym that I don't think I can say what it stands for, but basically you're trying to determine those animals that maybe have a heavy intestinal parasite load and needs to be dewormed, specifically the barber pole worm. So that will be in the afternoon after lunch. I think we're limiting that to maybe 20 or 25 people just so that we can get everybody trained and feel comfortable in what they need to do for the FAMACHA training. So lots of great information that day. It's $20 to register for the conference, $25 at the door. And if you're interested in becoming certified in FAMACHA, again, that's going to be held in the afternoon after lunch, and that is an additional $16 fee because you will go home with a card to be able to use shoot side as you're looking at your animals. Again, all this information is on our website, person.ces.ncsu.edu or granville.ces.ncsu.edu. There's information about that along with the link to register. And again, if you have trouble navigating the website, you can give us a call here at the extension office, and we can either spell it out for you more plainly over the phone, or maybe even register you directly so you don't have to do that. But should be a good conference. We've got some really great folks lined up to speak. And then again, if people need to be certified in FEMATCHA, that will be an option. You don't have to do that, but it is an option for after lunch.
Kim, while we're kind of on the topic of events coming up, I just looked at the schedule, and we have you on the schedule for Friday the 13th. But this one that I thought maybe we would go ahead and mention again, well, we can mention it again on the 13th, but the North Carolina Small Ruminant Improvement Program Flock Management Workshop for Saturday, May 14th in Mount Airy, hosted by Sleepy Creek Farms, the Westmoreland family. They'll be talking about nutritional management, flock health, multi-species production systems, farm tours. Lunch will be included, and they suggest that you bring a lawn chair. Can you, will this kind of be an extension of the more or less workshop that will be on the 6th that we just talked about?
Well, they will certainly, both of them will certainly provide you with some great information that you can take back to your small ruminant farms. They weren't really planned together to
right.
be, piggyback off of each other in any way, but you can always learn, something from any of these workshops or conferences that you go to. And so I'm sure some of the things that we may talk about on May 6th will probably tie into May 14th. But like I said, I'm not sure they were really planned specifically that way, but hopefully it's information that's beneficial, and you can pick up some tidbits and some helpful hints to take back to your particular operation.
Okay, some good information. We need to take a break, and after the break, I know you want to talk about summer annuals and flies, and then you have some information from some of the other agents mm-hmm. that you want to share with our listeners. Mm-hmm. We'll take care of those after this message from Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers. Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers is located 613 Lewis Street in Oxford. Open for business weekdays 8 to 5, Saturdays 9 till 1. Call 1-800-221-9267 or 919-693-4626. Al, Hillary, and Will, there to serve you with all of your golf car needs. They have club car, Easy Go, and Yamaha units. If you're wanting a gasoline or an electric golf car, they have them at Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers. Trojan Batteries, Parts and Repair Service. Thinking about a new grill? Check out the Wilmington Grills at Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers. Speaking of trailers, they have utility, dump, enclosed, stock, and equipment trailers. That's Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers in Oxford, 919-693-4626, toll free 1-800-221-9267. Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers. Kim Woods is our guest today here on the Gardener's Corner program. Kim, let's talk a little bit about summer annuals, and then we can kind of move on into flies. The flies are not bad now, but it won't be long.
Right. So, having animals and trying to graze them in the summertime can be tricky sometimes. Most of our pastures in this part of the world are fescue-based, and fescue just doesn't really like our hot weather, so it just kind of doesn't do a lot of growing in the summertime. And so having some forages available for our animals, whatever species they may be, in the summertime can be sometimes difficult. And hay prices are expected to be higher this year because of all the input costs that we mentioned earlier. So, you may not want to think about buying a whole bunch of hay to get you through the summertime. So there are some species of grasses that work really well for summer grazing and hay as well. You can do both with most of these. And so, you know, now's the time to start thinking about what you might want to plant, where you're going to plant it, what you need to do to get ready to plant it, getting that seed on hand at your farm so that when the weather is right, you're ready to go. You're not, you know, running around at the last minute trying to calibrate your drill and go pick up seed from the store that you're going to buy it from, and how much do you need, and where you're going to plant it, and all that kind of good stuff. So most of this is probably old hat to a lot of the folks that are listening out there, but some of the summer annuals that work pretty well for either grazing or hay, or some of the millets, and those would include pearl millet, foxtail millet, brown top millet, and Japanese millet. Some of the sorghums, there's some sorghums that have been developed a little bit more for forages and not so much for grain production. Then there's sorghum Sudan hybrids, which are a cross between the sorghum plant and a Sudan plant. There's Sudan grass that can also be used. And then there's crabgrass. And another one that's maybe new to some people is something called teff. T-E-F-F. And so those are things that typically need to be planted after the threat of frost. So the magic date that we use is May 1st, which is coming up, I guess, a week and a couple of days from now, because these things are not going to survive a frost. So you want to make sure and hope that we don't have a late frost like we did a few years ago. But technically, May 1st is the magic date. You plant them. And some of these, you know, depending on environmental conditions, moisture, and all that kind of stuff, they can be ready to graze in maybe even like 45 days. So some of them can grow pretty quick and be ready to graze fairly quickly. They can be grazed multiple times. Rotational grazing is going to be your best bet so that you can control where your animals are going, keep them from back grazing on a section they just grazed so that that plant can put out new leaf and make some more forage for you to have your animals harvest. And then so you can get two or three grazings out of it, two or three cuttings out of most of these. But then come frost this fall, that frost is going to kill them. So, you know, they only last the summer growing season. Again, May 1st is about the first time that we want to plant. It'd be ideal to get them in the ground the month of May so that we can get some moisture on them. You know, you can plant them up until June, the middle of June or something, and still probably get enough growth out of it to make it worthwhile. You just run the risk of having not enough moisture with that late of a planting. So you know, there's the different plants that I mentioned. They have different seeding rates and different planting depths and everything, so we won't get into all those details on the radio show. You can certainly call and ask for some additional information. Most the sorghums, the Sudans, the millets, and the sorghum Sudan hybrids, they do like a little bit of a nitrogen. So you're probably going to have to put some fertilizer out there to be able to get, you know, the best growth that you can to make it worth your while. The other issue is that all of these can be nitrate accumulators. So if you do put out the nitrogen and then we turn off with a really hot, dry, no rain summer, then nitrates could be a problem. We can discuss that later on if we end up having that kind of a weather pattern this summer. So that is a little bit of a pitfall with these, is that they can accumulate nitrates. Prussic acid can also be an issue with the sorghums and the Sudans and all the millets except for pearl millet, and that's something that typically happens after frost. So, again, we can go into that details later, but it's those are things that you can, these forages are things that you can think about planting now and try and get you some additional grazing or hay over the summertime. Crabgrass is a good option because it, if allowed to go to seed before frost, it can actually drop some seed and make new plants for next year. I know a lot of people think crabgrass is a weed, but it does have its benefits. There's some improved varieties that grow a little bit more upright and have more leaf areas, so they are more of a forage. And teff is actually a seed that's somewhat new to the United States. I think it came from Ethiopia. It's grown for a grain crop over there tiny, tiny, tiny little seed, but it has a very fine leaf and fine stem, so it actually makes pretty decent hay because you don't have as much stem to try and get dry, and it should be cut at least once, either as hay or with just a rotary mower before you turn animals out on it to graze. So, again, that's just real quick and dirty, a lot more details that you really should flesh out before making a decision, and I'd be happy to discuss any of those grasses with somebody. But just something to think about as we start moving into the summertime. We're getting to the time that you can plant those summer annuals because hopefully we're not going to have a very late frost. So just something to think about for those folks out there that are looking for maybe a different forage for their animals to graze, or if they need something for hay.
Again, you can contact Kim at the Person County office, 336-599-1195. Now, Kim, we need to get a couple of messages on to the listeners. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about it's not too early to start thinking about fly control, correct?
Correct. I'm not sure it's ever too early to start thinking about fly control. So we actually had a webinar last night about flies with around horses specifically. And so, you know, I guess a couple of takeaways from that and from what I have gained over the years is that there's not a single silver bullet that you're going to be able to perform, do, put out, spray, apply or whatever that's going to eliminate your flies for the whole season. So it's going to take a multi-pronged approach, probably with several different items used in combination to try and get the flies under control. You know, we've got some flies that like to hang around not-so-clean areas. Those include house, stable, horn, and face flies. So if we can keep our area, whether we're talking horses or cattle or sheep or goats or whatever, you know, do something with the manure. Don't have a whole lot of feed laying around because as that feed kind of rots, it attracts the flies. Those filth flies, if we can clean up the areas, then that may help reduce some of those flies. Black flies, deer and horse flies, mosquitoes and biting edges, they're not really filth flies. They're just plain old nuisances. There's just no other word for them. So sometimes, you know, for horses that can get into a barn or cattle that can get into deep shade, that may provide some relief from the black deer and horse flies. Mosquitoes, you know, kind of clean up any standing water around your place so that they don't have that breeding area that they want to be around. There are certainly lots of things you can use. Sprays that you can spray directly on the animal. There are sprays that you can use in premises, so, you know, horse barns, or if you have barns that your cattle or sheep or goats come into, there are premise sprays. There are traps that can be purchased that can help trap some of these flies and other nuisance insects. For cattle, there are ear tags that can sometimes provide some relief. A couple of products that can be fed to the animal. Sometimes it is a top dressing that you can put on the top of the feed, like in the case of horses, or it may be like a lick, or it could be a mineral. You know, there's different products for different animals that can, most of them are or some type of insect growth regulator. So it prevents, and it works mostly on the filth flies. So as that manure comes out the backside of that animal, it has this insect growth regulator in it that has nothing to harm our cattle or goats or sheep or horses or whatnot, but it does affect those insects that land on that manure and then maybe consume some of that manure because that's what they do. So then they get this insect growth regulator, and it prevents, you know, maybe prevents their eggs that they lay from developing all the way to an adult fly. So, you know, using a combination of some of all of those can be beneficial. It's probably the only way that you're going to get much control is to do, you know, two or three things at one time. You know, chickens and guineas and ducks can help because they like to go out there and scratch around in the pastures and eat some of those little critters. So those are certainly something that you can do that doesn't involve chemicals. and there are some like parasitic wasps that that can be released to help control some of the fly population. So again, a non-chemical type of approach. So again, if you have any questions, give me a call, shoot me an email. We can discuss some of the things. I've got some websites that might be helpful to look at some of those things. So anyhow, it's that time. So go ahead and start be thinking about what you're going to do to control flies, because I can guarantee you they're going to be back at some point. And so go ahead and get your plan in place so that you can – some of those things should be started now, probably should have been started last month, but you can go ahead and get your plan in place to try and get a at least a control an idea of how you want to reduce your numbers. You're not going to completely eliminate those flies, but you want to reduce them so our animals are a little bit more comfortable.
Any kind of reduction in the fly population is a welcome change.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to get a word on for T.G. Brooks Company and Jason Acock Auctioneering.
April and spring is bursting open. T.G. Brooks Company is ready, and they have them in. They've got your plants, several varieties of tomatoes, big boys, better boys, German Johnson, and others, cucumbers, pepper plants, even Tabasco. And they have ready for you today herbs like basil. They are geared up for the planting season. This is the month to get things going for spring and summer. Fresh garden seed are in and ready to plant. Reseed your lawn with clean, fresh grass seed. And they have the fertilizer, lime, herbicides for weed control. And if you need mulch, wow, do they have it. Even triple ground mulch. Do you need straw, pine needles? How about potting soil, planting soil, or cow manure? They have aerators. No matter if you are the homeowner or you are the commercial landscaper, T.G. Brooks handles everybody with the same courteous service. They can arrange delivery, or you can pull in with your pickup truck, trailer. They'll load it up for you. The bag products like pine mulch, they'll load up in your car or trailer. It is exciting to see spring 2022 and the exciting growing season. Make tracks to 411 Helena Mariah Road in Timberlake. Phone them at 364-2428. Don't forget the dog food and the kennels. T.G. Brooks proudly has served the homeowner, the farmer, and those in construction since way back in 1936. They welcome folks from all over Person County, Rougemont, and Northern Durham, and, of course, Southern Person County.
Jason Acock, Auctioneering, NCAL 6679, announces the auction for wood, tool, and supply. Scott Eastwood Estate, deceased, to be held Saturday, April 23rd at 9 a.m. at 6592 Alvin Drive in Nashville, North Carolina, in the Red Oak community. For terms, to see pictures of items up for auction, and more information, log on to jasonacockauctioneering.com or call Jason at 919-495-0285. Up for auction, vehicles, campers, trailers, four-wheelers, guns, tractors, and equipment, generators, power washers, pumps, hoses, wands, shop equipment, chainsaws, and much more. No bias premium. Sale will be held, rain or shine. On-site bidding only for Saturday, April the 23rd at 6592 Alvin Drive in Nashville, North Carolina, in the Red Oak community. Log on to jasonacockauctioneering.com or call Jason at 919-495-0285 for more information on this auction sale for wood, tool, and supply.
We do appreciate all of our sponsors here on the Gardener's Corner program. Now, Kim, you said that Michaela had asked you to send out some information over the airways about sharing the road with our farmers and their equipment.
Yep. Yeah, so as you mentioned before, planting has begun. I know I passed a couple of tobacco fields this morning that have been planted, and then corn's going in the ground. Those are going to continue, and then it won't be too terribly long before soybeans are going in the ground as well. So tractors are on the road now, so just a couple of things for the general public to think about as we may encounter more tractors and farm equipment on the roads. Slow down. If you're driving and you see farm equipment, slow down. They're not going fast. They can't go fast. So if you're traveling at 55 miles an hour and that tractor is at 15 miles an hour, you can close that 300 to 400 feet in just 5 seconds. So slow down so that you give yourself plenty of time to stop and not rear in that back of that tractor or the equipment that they're towing. Make sure the farmer can see you. Most of these tractors today have lots of windows. If they're a cab tractor, they have mirrors, rear view mirrors, side mirrors. So the farmer is always looking around to see what's going on. They're looking for mailboxes to avoid, looking for oncoming traffic, trying to stay out of the ditch, trying to keep that two-wide tractor or implement in the road and not on the in the ditches or on the shoulders. So you watching the farmer and that equipment is just going to help make the situation a whole lot safer because they're already trying to keep their eyes on a bunch of different things. Stay back 50 feet at least, again, so that you've got time to react and they have time to react in case you try and pass or whatever. So just plenty of space, just like we need to keep plenty of space when we're following just regular cars or whatever on the highway. Watch for turns. Most time they're just going from one field to another, going from one field back to the home farm. So, again, a lot of times these tractors do have turn signals on them, so just watch what they're doing. They may be trying to make a left-hand turn, or they may be needing to get over in the left-hand lane to get wide enough to turn right into a driveway. So just be aware, slow down, pay attention, give them plenty of room so that they can get to where they need to get to. They are, a lot of them are wide, so just, try not to pass when there's a whole bunch of mailboxes on the side of the road. There may not be enough room between those mailboxes for you and that piece of equipment. So, they're wide, so just pay attention to that. And when you do feel like you need to pass, just look, pay attention, make sure you can see far enough down the road to make sure nobody's coming towards you and the tractor. So just, be extra careful, pay extra attention, slow down a little bit. We want you to get safely to where you're going, but we also want that farmer to get safely home as well, because they are somebody's father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, brother, sister, whatever the case may be. So we want everybody to get home safe. So just slow down, pay attention, give them plenty of room, watch what's going on, give them plenty of room to make turns or do whatever they need to do. But as we get more into plant season and then more into harvest season, there's going to be equipment on the road, so just pay attention.
Good advice right there. Kim, we've got just a couple of minutes left. You said also that you have some information from Jennifer Brand, the Family Consumer Science Agent,
yep,
about a diabetic prevention program.
Yes. So they're going to start up another diabetes prevention program. So they have some information sessions about the program scheduled. So this is not really the start of the program, just to get more information about what the program, the diabetes prevention program, would entail. So the diabetes prevention program is for somebody who has not yet been diagnosed with diabetes. So if you've already been diagnosed with diabetes, this is not the program for you. This is for people that have been told they're pre-diabetic or borderline diabetic, or they have high A1Cs or high fasting blood sugars, large body mass indexes over 25, or have had diabetes during pregnancy. So again, if you've been diagnosed with diabetes, this is not the program for you. This is this program is for those who have been, they're on the borderline. They may be working their way towards diabetes, so it's to try and prevent them from becoming a diabetic. So again, this is information sessions that they have to give you more information about what the program is going to be like. So they have, looks like five sessions, May 4th at 10 a.m., May 5th at 2 p.m., May 9th at 12 p.m., May 12th at 2 p.m., May 17th at 12 p.m. And you only need to attend one of those, so you can pick out whichever one works best for your schedule. Those are just the information sessions. If you're interested in getting signed up for the information session on the Diabetes Prevention Program, you can go to go.ncsu.edu/diabetesinfo. You can also call 336-597-2204, extension 2277. The information is also on our website, so again, that's person.ces.ncsu.edu to get those dates and times and how you can sign up. You only need to attend one of those sessions. Like I said, it will be all those sessions will be here in the Person County Office Building. Some of them are going to be in the auditorium, and then some of them will be in our extension kitchen. But they will all be in the Person County Office Building. So, again, that information is on our website. If anybody wants some more of those details, or I spoke too fast, or you couldn't grab a pen and paper quick enough. So, again, it's for those who are borderline or pre-diabetic.
A lot of good information you've given out today, Kim. I want to say a thank you to you and all the other agents for the job that you all do. Thanks to T.G. Brooks Company. Jason Aycock Auctioneering, and he has an auction in Nashville, North Carolina, tomorrow. JasonAycockAuctioneering.com. And we also appreciate the support of Sandling Golf Cars and Trailers. Want to wish you and yours a happy and safe weekend. The weather's going to be nice. Maybe you can get out and enjoy some of it. All righty, we'll join in with the North Carolina News Network already in progress. Kim, again, appreciate the job that you do.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate y'all's support.
WKRX, rated #1 for Person County listeners. WKRX, my hometown station.